After showing
Batim,
her husband, Tatsjai, unto Sukanya, Pati Vratjena, because of her strong faith in her husband, Doshitao, being very pleased with her, Richim, unto Chayavanamuni, Amantriya,
taking his permission,
Yayatuhu,
they went away,
Vimanena,
taking their own airplane,
Trivichtapam,
to the heavenly planets.
It's a translation.
The Ashvini Kumaras were very pleased to see Sukanya's chastity and faithfulness.
Thus they showed her to Chayavanamuni, her husband, and, after taking permission from him, they returned to the heavenly planets in their planes. You can repeat.
The Ashvini Kumaras
were very pleased
to see Sukanya's chastity
and faithfulness.
Thus they showed her Chayavanamuni,
her husband,
and after taking permission from him,
they returned to the heavenly planets
in their plane.
So there's no purport to this text, or the next,
and then keep reading until we get to the purport.
Text 18.
Yakshamano tautsharyatish chayvanasya shamangataka tadarsha duhitu parshve purusham surya varchasam.
Thereafter, King Saryati,
desiring to perform a sacrifice, went to the residence of Chayavanamuni.
There he saw by the side of his daughter a very beautiful young man, as bright as the sun.
Text 19.
Raja duhitaram praha krita para vivandanam ashishascha prayunjano nati priti manahiva.
After receiving obeisances from his daughter, the king, instead of offering blessings to her, appeared very displeased and spoke as follows.
Chakirshitam te kim idam patishtraya palambito loka namaskrito muni yatvam jada drashtam satya sammatam vihaya jaram vashasemum advagam.
Oh, unchaste girl, what is this that you have desired to do? You have cheated the most respectable husband who is honored by everyone. For I see that because he was old, diseased, and therefore unattractive, you have left his company to accept as your husband this young man who appears to be a beggar from the street.
Wow.
So, purport by his divine grace.
Shilabhaupad ki jai.
This shows the values of Vedic culture. According to the circumstances, Sukanya had been given a husband who was too old to be compatible with her. Because Chayavanamuni was diseased and very old, he was certainly unfit for the beautiful daughter of King Saryati. Nonetheless, her father expected her to be faithful to her husband. When he suddenly saw that his daughter had accepted someone else, even though the man was young and handsome, he immediately chastised her as asati, unchaste, because he assumed that she had accepted another man in the presence of her husband. According to Vedic culture, even if a young woman is given an old husband, she must respectfully serve him. This is chastity. It is not that because she dislikes her husband, she may give him up and accept another. This is against Vedic culture. According to Vedic culture, a woman must accept the husband given to her by her parents and remain chaste and faithful to him. Therefore, King Saryati was surprised to see a young man by the side of Sukanya. So, Om Ganat Timidanda Shah Gananjana.
Shalakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha.
So, Prabhupada in this purport, when I read this purport last night, I saw that he used the word Vedic culture many, many different times. So, I really wanted to see what Prabhupada means by Vedic culture, because this word is bandied about quite a bit, you know, Vedic culture. And there's different cultures in the world, of course. There's the Aborigine culture, the American Indian culture, the present American culture, or lack of culture, as it may be. In your different country in the world, there's the Croatian culture, there's the Russian culture. Anyway, and so, first of all, I wanted to see, what does Prabhupada mean by culture? Is he indicating, let's say, different hairstyles, clothes, etc., like that? What is Prabhupada indicating like that? And of course, in order to understand this point, I looked at the dictionary before I consulted Prabhupada. And I saw the dictionary definition of culture. There's several different definitions. Of course, one definition doesn't apply in this context. It's a culture of bacteria. that was one of the, you know, you culture bacteria or culture viruses or something in the laboratory. Or, you know, if you leave your prasadam out too long, you're culturing different living entities, fungus, and things like that. So that's not the definition that's really applicable to this. So the definitions that I found in the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster dictionary, that which is considered excellent in the arts, letters, manners, and scholarly pursuits. You know, that's culture. Like sometimes my mother says to me, I just went last night to see this opera, and I go, yuck. And she says, you don't have any culture. So, that's one definition. And another definition is a particular stage in the civilization. Another definition is development of the mind and body by education. In other words, even the body, like the physical culture or mental culture. Another one is behaviors and beliefs of a particular group. Now we're getting a little close here. And the last one was shared values, attitudes, goals, and practices of a particular group. So, in that light, let's talk about values, attitudes, goals, and practices. I like this particular one in relationship to how Prabhupada deals with Vedic culture. You know, what is the value? In other words, what is the value and goal? Value and goal is pretty similar. You know, why? You're dealing with the why of culture. Not just, it just happens to be, let's say, we shake hands in a certain way here. You know, and of course, shaking hands and greeting people differ according not only to the country, but according to the time. I mean, when I was young, we would shake hands in the normal way, you know. Nowadays, it's, you know, high five or, you know, fist bumps or whatever people do. Even in the business world, they're doing that now. So that changes. So that's not really what I want to deal with, or, you know, how we greet people. Namaste, please accept my obeisances, Prabhu. These are secondary items. So the goal, let's talk about the goals and values of Vedic culture. According to Srila Prabhupada, there's several goals. One is, ultimately, of course, self-realization in the society and towards a theistic goal, a theistic focus. In other words, theistic means God, not impersonalism. So, and Prabhupada said, so everyone in the society, and I actually did a search, you know, with Prabhupada, every time Prabhupada said the word Vedic culture. So everyone in the society can make spiritual progress. That's what Prabhupada indicated. And all towards ultimate self-realization, which means, according to Prabhupada, everyone should become aware of the soul's position, God's position,
And basically the other five three topics mentioned in the Gita. You know, the material energy, like that, karma and time. So, in other words, so everybody in society gets educated in these things. So these are the values. And it was theistic, and, you know, and in order to accomplish that, there has to be there's a value in keeping the senses regulated. Because the unregulated senses, you can't focus on those goals. Okay, so that's the reason, the teleos, you know, the purpose of Vedic culture. So let's dwell on the methodology, or as described in this definition, the practices, okay? Because the practices of Vedic culture have to be understood in terms of the goals and the values, right? Otherwise, it's just a relative thing. You know, in certain cultures, like Prabhupada would give the example, let's say in certain African cultures, they would take their grandfather, throw him, you know, when he was old, couldn't do anything else, and throw him off the roof and then eat him. So, you know, does that reflect, of course that may reflect the values of a particular culture, but it's just something relative. It's not an absolute thing. Whereas in Vedic culture, we're dealing with something that's absolute, based upon the purpose of this material creation. You know, many times I see devotees, they start to appreciate other cultures, but those other cultures don't have that focus on the goal, like the Vedic culture has. So it's very important when you're talking about the methodology, what the practices of Vedic culture, to understand the goal of Vedic culture. Otherwise, you'll confuse certain relative aspects with important aspects. In other words, you confuse some details with the methodology that upholds the principles. Hope I'm not being too educated about this. So anyway, so here's the methods. And I think all the methods, I mean, at least according to my reading, are based upon upholding four principles. And those four principles are mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the principles of religiosity. What is it? Cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity, right? Or which are described as the four legs of the bull in the first canto. And of course you have, through the ages, these principles get diminished. I mean, for example, in Satya Yuga, then you have the gradual diminishing from the beginning of Satya Yuga to the end of Satya Yuga, the principle of austerity. And that gets diminished by false pride, or pride. And you can see how that would happen. Because let's say these brahmanas, you know, they're basically, I guess, paramahamsas or whatever. But they're very austere, and they can perform austerities for like hundreds or thousands of years. And after a while, you start to think, you know, I'm better than everybody else. So this is the first thing that gets diminished. And then next yuga, then you have the cleanliness that gets diminished. And actually, there's actually different lists, there's different times that Prabhupada said different things diminish different things. Anyway, so, but I'm just giving the general list that is presented in the verses of the Bhagavatam, in the 17th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that you have cleanliness, and that becomes diminished by attachment to the opposite sex. Or, you know, nowadays, of course, it's illicit sex. Because sex is meant for one particular purpose. Whether people in modern society agree with me or not, but the Vedic society, sex was meant for what? Does anyone know? Procreation. Not recreation, yeah. I mean, it's meant for procreation. I mean, with that particular definition, you sort of solve all these other issues, you know, like homosexuality or what a metrosexuality or, you know, whatever they have nowadays. You solve it. The purpose is You know, just like you have parts of your body that are meant for different things. Your eyes are meant to do what?
See.
Not to eat prasadam. So if you take prasadam and you put it on your eyes, you probably, depending on which prasadam you put in the eyes, you probably have to make a visit to the eye doctor pretty soon, especially if it's chili peppers. So this cleanliness is diminished by, Prabhupada sometimes says undue attachment, you know, to females, or we can also understand undue attachment to females to males, you know, sexual attachment. So it's diminished in that way. And then you have mercy, which is generally thought about intoxication. Diminishes the mercy. And you actually see in the Bhagavatam at the Krishna's dynasty was cursed, of course, by Gandhari to self-destruct at the end. And you see, because they got intoxicated, the members of the Yadu dynasty, everybody knows the story, on rice wine, and they were hitting each other with sticks. Because of that, they lost mercy even towards each other. So different types of intoxication. And then truthfulness is diminished by lying propaganda, which basically everything is controlled by the advertising media now. You know, people very much into that. So, and also part of that lying propaganda is gambling. Gambling, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, the gambling is like Krishna said, of cheating games, I'm gambling. So, and you see this nowadays, we were talking to Drishti Prabhu about this, that not only do you have this, you know, lottery, you know, government so-called supports education with gambling, with illicit activities, but also you have so much speculation, not only, you know, not in the stock market, you know, the stock market, if you're investing in something, is one thing, but you're speculating. But these latest things, like this thing called the Bitcoin we were talking about yesterday. Don't worry, Purvi, you don't have to know about this. It's, you know, in other words, lying propaganda means you can get something for nothing without contributing anything of value to society. Of course, the stock market is like that to a certain extent. And without contributing anything, producing anything, even producing cars or anything. So there's these Bitcoin things, you know, where it's just like a virtual currency. I mean, paper currency is bad enough. Of course, there's not too much paper anymore. Mostly people are using, I guess, electronic entries or something like that, credit cards and everything like that. And even, you know, I know we pay our bills many times through what's called EFT, electronic fund transfer. So the Bitcoins are just like an imaginary currency that the only value, it's not even connected to a government, the only value is just like people's belief in it, isn't it? I mean, it's not a, like in America, the currency used to be, you know, in God we trust, or silver certificates or gold certificates. Later on, they took it away like that, and it's based on belief in the government. But these other speculative things are based on belief in, just in belief. Isn't it? In people's belief in it. And then you find many, many devotees that they're sometimes investing. We had a whole group of devotees in, this is not a big point, a whole group of devotees in Slovenia and Croatia and Bosnia who were into this currency speculation. You probably remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the prominent devotees in the yatra were just telling everybody, you know, you got to get into this. Invest in this particular company that is doing currency speculation based upon the different fluctuations in currencies between different countries. And the devotees got in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of euros were invested. And everyone lost their money. Or maybe one person made money, but everybody else lost their money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. People became impoverished by that. So anyway, so getting back to the point. So lying propaganda, gambling is part of that lying propaganda. And you see this is very prominent in Kali Yuga.
So in order to support, these are the four principles of religiosity, Dharma or Vedic culture. In order to support that, so, you know, I'm really drilling down on this, then there's different prescriptions that are part of Vedic culture. One, of course, is Varnashram. Everyone's heard of Varnashram before? Varnashram means that each of the four Varnas and four Ashrams have duties. It's a duty-oriented culture. It's not a me-centered culture. In other words, the consciousness, as is in most traditional Eastern cultures, the consciousness is you're following a duty for the good of society. In America, and, you know, Western cultures, let's just criticize in America, then everything, it's a me-based culture. If you say, you should do this for the good of society, you should stay faithful, like Sukanya or whatever, for the good of society. And that's, how can you apply that argument to someone in America, right? You say, for the good of society, you should do your duty. And, you know, Krishna makes that argument in Gita. He says, you know, yadyada charati shrestastata devaita rojana. That as a great person's act, other persons follow, you know, the normal persons follow. So he's giving that argument to Arjuna so that Arjuna will do his duty, because Arjuna is told that you should set a good example. That's really the point Krishna's making to Arjuna. You must set a good example. Because other people, you know, who are lesser than you, will follow the bad example of not doing your duty. So Varnashram is based upon that. And also being engaged according to your psychophysical nature. You know, there's the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and then there's the Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And it's based upon doing, you know, doing your duty and being engaged according to your psychophysical nature, occupation, and dharma. What is your dharma? Like a Brahman, his dharma is yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana, pratigar. He maintains himself by teaching and doing sacrifices and giving instruction and attending classes and things like that. And charity, of course. And then a Kshatriya maintains himself, he can extract taxes. And a Vaishya, he maintains himself by produce and exchange and, you know, financial stuff. And a Shudra, he gets maintained by the other classes. Rather than given money, he's given the he's given like clothes, he's given jewelry, even jewelry or food or whatever he needs. So anyway, so this is actually Krishna's system, the Varnashram system. And if we don't act in terms of the Varnashram system, then ultimately it's going to be harder to maintain the principles of religiosity, cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And so part of the Varnashram system, there's secondary things that are part of the Varnashram system that Prabhupada mentions in regard to the quotes that I looked up about Vedic culture. Distribution of food is very important. Like we have our prasadam distribution. Prabhupada, when he was in Mayapur, he was seeing the children fighting the dogs for the remnants of the devotees' place. And what did Prabhupada said? No one within a certain radius, like a 10-mile radius or whatever, should go hungry. And he established, you know, food for life or prasadam distribution. So distribution of food is part of Varnashram culture. Training of people, this is to, if you want to have Varnashram, you have to train people from the beginning of life in the culture and the expectations of Varnashram culture. Instead of teaching people like we do normally, not we do, but people do normally, that you're the center of the universe. You know, Ishwara Ham, Aham Bhogi, Siddha Ham Balamansaki, you're perfect, you're powerful, you're happy. Your happiness is most important. We train people, you know, the society, the progressive, the purpose of Varnashram, this progressive march, getting back again to the purpose of the Vedas, or purpose of Vedic culture, is the progressive march towards spirituality, towards
worship of Krishna and advancement and ultimately going back to home, back to Godhead. And then another part of our ashram is very important, is protection of what? Cows, Brahmins, old people, women, and children. So this is also essential parts of Vedic culture. This is all Prabhupada. None of this is for me. This is actually all from what I looked up last night under the quote, Vedic culture. Another essential part of Vedic culture is regular hearing of transcendental sound vibration, literature, chanting, of all the classics. Very, very important. Another important part, according to Prabhupada, is training to be satisfied with the bare minimum. In other words, not being greedy for more than is absolutely essential to keep the body and soul together. And of course, this very much would fit into the ecological movement that we have nowadays, because people are over-consuming. I mean, there's one cartoon I saw a while ago that showed how people would consume so much, throw it out, all the refuse and everything is sent to third world countries, and then we're taught to buy again, consume again. Our whole economy is based upon over-consumption. The different items that we buy all have planned obsolescence built into them. Either planned obsolescence due to style or planned obsolescence due to just the machine itself falling apart. You know, I read a while ago that they could make a razor blade that you could use for years and years and years, but nobody would make money. Or a toothbrush that you wouldn't have to keep replacing. You know, so it's basically just these simple things, you know, appear. But if you actually calculate how many landfills are filled with disposable razors, you know, how much, you know, you think, oh, I'm just using a disposable razor, you throw it away. You know, what does it last? How many days? 3 or 4 days? Whatever. And then how many people in the world are using, even in India now? And then you have mountains of disposable razors. I mean, so there's training to be satisfied. Like Prabhupada would use like a different twig from a tree to brush his teeth. I'm not saying that we have to do that. But another important part, which is mentioned here in this Bhagavad Gita, is chastity for women, proper marriages that are compatible, and try to avoid pratilom marriages. Pratilom means where the man is less qualified than the woman, and the woman is a higher caste. Yeah, you know, it's all part of Varnashram. And another part is constant reminder in society, you know, regular attendance in Bhagavatam class, by everybody, of the soul's position. Who are you? What is your duty? You know, you're part and parcel of Krishna. And another aspect is stress and respect for authority. Because it's basically a hierarchical culture. You know, of course, that goes against our grain, too. That, you know, hierarchy. You know, of course, in one sense, Krishna says we're all one. And Krishna in the Gita says, you know, vision and the mode of understanding, the mode of goodness, to see one underlying spiritual nature. But there's also one and different simultaneously. And there's also, you can't do away with hierarchy. Just among the different species of life, there's hierarchy amongst human beings, there's natural hierarchy, but the oneness has to be taken into consideration too, because if you don't take the oneness into consideration, if you see everybody is different according to the different, completely different according to different bodies, then that's understanding according to Krishna in the mode of passion. So, anyway, so the stress and respect for for authority and stress and respect for austerity too. You know, like Prabhupada mentions that there should be, you know, we have our codices, but he said there should be 2 fasting days every month. And of course, Prabhupada gives different health reasons for that too. He says it's actually healthy. He gives economical reasons for it too. Because if you take 2 days out of the month, that's usually 30 or 31 days in a month. That's 2 out of 30, and that's a sizable proportion of the food that's produced. And, you know, that's economically, it'll help society, and also people will not be over-consuming. Because when you eat less one day, then you'll be less inclined the next day. And, of course, we do that by not eating grains or beans or heavy food, just eating very, very simple things. Of course, the strict following of a codicil would be not to eat anything on a codicil, but for preaching Krishna consciousness, when we're active, or for our health, we have to do something different. But so the stress or austerity, which means not accepting any more than absolutely necessary, which we dwelt on before. You know, Bhagavatam is really, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, it talks about this. You know, what is the need for beds if they're earthly flats to lie on? What is the need? Of course, I don't want to unduly influence Gokulendra. What is it? What is the need for houses in the cave? Don't the caves in the mountains do? You know, he's a little fanatic with that. But anyway, so I'm not saying that we should be living in the caves in the mountains or in the jungle or anything like that, because we're a preaching movement. But at the same time, we should try not to be like, what is it, the princess and the pea or something like that. That we should try to keep these things to a minimum, so we're not using too much of the earth's resources, and we're understanding Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yadkanjajakajam Jagat Tenachikdena Bunjada Madhudha Kashasvidanam, that everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord, and is given to us as our quota to use for Krishna, for Krishna's purposes. So not that you happen to be a chauffeur for someone, yeah, it means a driver for someone in a car, and you use the car for your own sense gratification. Your duty is to use the car for the owner of the car. So anyway, so these are some of the points. Prabhupada made all these points, but these are the points that Prabhupada made, general points that Prabhupada made when he used the phrase Vedic culture. So let's try to understand what Vedic culture is. That was my point, and that word is used 3 or 4 times in the purport here. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
I've heard it said sometimes that mercy is destroyed by meeting.
Yeah, another time Prabhupada did say that. And, you know, in the verse it says mercy is destroyed by intoxication. But Prabhupada at another time did say mercy is destroyed by meat eating. Yes, you're right. You're right about
that. I found both also.
They're both, yeah. They're both. Yeah. Both things are said. But in the actual verse, it says intoxication. In the 17th chapter of the first canto. Yes, type approved.
So, I mean, you talk about the Varnashram system.
Yeah.
And of course, this topic comes up a lot. So, yesterday, I'll bring Jay from the yard. Prabhupada, you know, he's part of chapter 6 of my deletings, Lord Chaitanya's talk in Saragopa, Jerry, trying to convert him from a Mayavada position.
Hmm.
He points to me, in his verbal, he talks about, you know, the execution of devotional service by always taking Krishna, you know, and worshiping him, and coming to the Lord. And it can be done in the Varnashram system. But he points out this whole scheme of Vedic civilization, however, this institution is very difficult to establish in this age.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises us not to worry about the Vedic system of Varnashram Dharma. Rather, we should take directly to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra simply by hearing about the Supreme Krishna Gaga from pure devotees.
Yes.
This is the process recommended by Chaitanya.
Yes. Yes, that is true. So therefore, the details of Varnashram, many of them may not be accepted in Kali Yuga, but Prabhupada himself said that 50% of his mission was not yet accomplished because he hadn't instituted Varnashram, the essence of Varnashram, maybe not all the little details, which is impossible according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah.